Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. I am G.R. Mobley. This is an educational grassroots program focused on uniting and leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again.
Well, folks, it is now or never. And as I can tell you, there is no chance, no probability that any tyrant, whether they be a petty tyrant in your county or the commander and tyrant's chief, have they any plans, or will they ever release the tyranny they're holding you under? They don't care. Like I said, we've kind of moved into a world, and I can actually, you know, if you really look at what we have, I can actually make the argument that we have a aristocracy that's on its way to a monarchical, I'll just say communist state, which is on its way to a global communist state of a global monarchy. Not a noble monarchy, but a global monarchy. Now, our party form of government is allowing, and because these two institutions are uniparty, has two separate sides. It has the left and the right, just like the human body has a left side and a right side. And so the uniparty, which for its own self-preservation, its own interest, created this union of these two parties to ensure they would maintain relevance and control, that they would never lose control, which is why we have to actually either take back your Republican Party, which I'm telling you, if you're in a blue state, you might as well give up now. You might as well give up now. If you're in a red county in a blue state, you have every opportunity to take back your, potentially take back your county, or I should say your state party, but the efforts are going to be too difficult to do that. And I actually have some meetings, you know, up ahead this week that are going to be kind of interesting. We're actually going to be interviewing Timber Nation, the founder and the current owner of Timber Nation. So you can kind of get an inside view of their model and what they're doing and, you know, why I support a Patriot, you know, company or organization. At least that's the direction, you know, I want to take this program, or I want to take this show, because anybody that is patriotic, that is actually supporting the patriotic cause, deserves to be highlighted. And when people take a stand, we need to actually stand up behind them. We need to support them in so doing. So when, you know, when companies, I mean, look how much people are supporting Mike Lindell. How many people of you have bought my pillows? So Timber Nation is going to be one of those companies, not necessarily a radical political company, but they are supporters of the Constitution. We'll get into that when we have these conversations with them. So that's coming down the road. Hopefully that's coming down the road. So anyway, let me kind of get into, you know, the one little thing I kind of want to poke at and stir at. And before I do that, though, it's been a long time since I've had any conversation, talk, or I know how Crystal Blessing is doing out of Arizona. And, you know, she used to give me feedback and so forth, but I know that she's had some health problems. So I'm just praying and hoping that her health is doing well, and that the reason she's been unable to, you know, contact me and stay in contact and what have you has more to do with blessings going her way than it has anything to do with bad health and her and an inability to be able to stay connected and so forth. Because there were those points in time when, you know, her health did take a bad turn. And I don't want to get into those details, but anyway, our prayers and thoughts are with her, and our prayers and thoughts are with you. Anyone that is suffering, any patriot that is suffering, we need to get healed. We need to rise up, because we've got to start healing our counties so that we can heal our states, so that we can heal this nation. Thinking that this next election of, you know, voting for Congress is going to heal this nation, you got another thing coming. But more importantly, what I really want to talk about, and this kind of segues me into this, is with 2 weeks away. We're 2 weeks away from the national election campaign. And I want to let you know that the Paul Venable campaign in Missouri needs your financial support, more so now than ever, because what he's going to do is he's going to start a campaign on the Constitution. He is the chair of the Constitution Party currently. I don't know if he wants to maintain his leadership as the chair of the Constitution Party, but I know he's not going to change parties, and he's trying to take the Constitution Party to the top of the mountain. And to get there, it takes a lot. Anyway, we won't get into that. The point is that your money, there's a lot of people that stop giving it about right about this time. In other words, they don't, contribute to campaigns anymore because, it takes 2 weeks or 3 weeks to actualize, that money into a commercial spot or what have you. That's not the case with Paul. First off, he's in, I don't want to say he's in debt, but he has funded most of this campaign on his own. Plus, his campaign doesn't end because his sights roll over to Josh Hawley. So, in other words, Senator Hawley is going to start feeling the heat. And as a matter of fact, every politician in the counties and in the state legislature in the state of Missouri. Sorry about that. Got Montana on my mind. In the state of Missouri, these folks are going to start feeling the heat coming from Paul Venable and this movement in demanding support of the Constitution, demanding full compliance and so forth. And so, when you've got a plan and when you've got the truth and when people look at the plan and the truth and they go, wow, this would work, all we have to do is get behind this. Folks, nothing will ever change until you get behind the Constitution. It's that simple. I mean, I can't be more plain in speaking. You have to get behind the Constitution. You have to demand that every public servant be fully compatible to the Constitution. And you need to take time to actually call these folks out and give them, the attaboys or your disdain for what they are doing. If they're supporting the Constitution, thank them. If they're not supporting the Constitution or they're violating it, you need to call them out and say, we're working on replacing you. And you need to start that campaign now. You don't wait until the filing. The odds are in their favor if you wait till the filing. This is why we went through this two Fridays ago. Coming up on this Friday, it'll be 2 Fridays ago, in constitutional counties, and how you start a campaign on the Constitution the day after the election. You start getting organized. You make sure you've got your petitions. Your focus should be working on what petitions you need to use and what petitions you need to bring forward over the course of the next 2 years. And this is, you have to constantly keep a dynamic look at what new petitions do we need? What new petitions do we need to throw into this? Because if you have a plan of attack, remember, the best defense is a good offense. And there's no way you can effectively operate an offensive campaign unless you start the day of the post-election. In other words, you take every day once that person's been elected, you take advantage of every day they're in office and creating a public relations campaign against what a tyrant they are and how they don't deserve to be in office. If you wait to do that over a course of a few months, sorry, your chances of succeeding will be a lot less. And more importantly, if you start the campaign over the course of the next 2 years, you should actually get a considerable following, because the majority of the people in a red county want to support the Constitution. And as you start pointing out how these things are all unconstitutional, what they're doing, they don't know what they're doing. And this is how they actually start learning. And this is how they follow leaders. That leaders do the right thing. So what's important is if you have the money because you haven't spent or you haven't contributed yet, contribute to Paul Venable's campaign. And I'm just saying this because this way it will reimburse him for his personal expenses. And what I'd like to see, because I'm not sure whether he can maintain a federal elections campaign you know, from this election into the next election to prepare to challenge Hawley. I don't know if the Federal Elections Committee allows him to maintain his election campaign, but I believe that's exactly what he's going to do. Now, he's not going to be out traveling and speaking as much, right? In the next month, month and a half, it's going to be, you know, getting organized, getting the ground game reorganized, and the strategies and the petitions and so forth. So this is what you need to do. Everybody in every state, and if you've got champions for the Constitution, this is what has to be done, especially if you've got champions that aren't in office and you've got somebody that's not a champion for the Constitution. They need to be in your sights. They need to be your focus to knock them out of office so that you can get constitutionalists. We got to stop electing conservatives, because the conservatives is the other side of the coin of the liberals. And so you have to start understanding that, because the conservatives aren't calling for full compliance of the Constitution. They're complying, you know, well, we want a conservative control of the people. You know, we want a conservative control of indoctrinating our children. What? It's all equally compulsive in statism. It's the same side of the same coin, or it's the opposite side of the same coin. Anyway, I've ranted and railed enough. So when we come back, after these two promos, we'll pick up where we left off in the 14th Amendment. We were just covering Section 3 and how important it was. And we're not going to get into the immune system. We'll do that on Friday. So let's get back into Section 4. We'll be right back after these two promos. Thank you so much. Folks, as you know, online fraud is on the rise, and it's more important than ever for your new and existing customers to be able to determine whether they are using a website with a secured connection. If you didn't know, Google mandated in 2017 that all data submitted to its linked websites must be secure with SSL certificates. Without SSL certificates, your site is listed by Google as not secure. In other words, without these certificates, your site will be harder to find, and this will impact new traffic and ultimately your revenue. Whether you're a blogger or in e-commerce, AdLocal will help protect your website from all forms of data breaches, phishing scams, and build a secure environment for your businesses, big or small. Contact AdLocal by calling 866-88-ADLOCAL. Or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com for custom pricing. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review, as well as my description of the republic review model, on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how republic review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you. Friends, if you have any questions or comments, we have our 24-hour comment line at 425-270-5416. Okay, so this next part of the 14th Amendment really wreaks havoc, again, on the sovereign citizen movement and those folks that are thinking that all of this debt or the alignment, because we had this war debt that we had to pay, or this alignment that we created with Britain and the Vatican, all of that type of stuff, and the Inorganic Act, or the Organic Act of 1871. Anyway, what we need to do here is help you understand that the Constitution made the federal government It would be illegal for the federal government to pay off any debt for the Civil War from the southern states. So this is what it says. The validity of the public debt of the United States authorized by law, including debts incurred for payment of pensions and bounties for service in suppressing the insurrection or rebellion, shall not be questioned. Now, just I want you to understand here, this very specifically points to the ability of the United States to create by law, you know, and to pay for the debt incurred of pensions and bounties for services. So in other words, this does not apply to the federal government's ability to pay for debts and or bounties of services currently. This only basically states that the validity of the public debt of the United States authorized by law, including debts, in other words, if they create debt that is authorized by law and those debts that they incurred for the payment of pensions and bounties for services in suppressing the insurrection or rebellion, in other words, fighting the South, shall not be questioned. All other debt can and must be questioned. And the problem is nobody's questioning it. I mean, I literally got involved in a dialogue just recently in telling people, you know, why is it that you're so concerned over this debt? The debt itself is unconstitutional. It's fraudulent. We need to quit looking at it as like it's some albatross hanging on our neck. The debt is a part of the facade they are creating in collapsing us. Now, folks, I don't have much time, because as this message gets out, the more and more people that start realizing the truth of this, I will go away. I'll either go away because I'm on the lam, on the run, or I will go away because they have to silence the truth. And so when I say that they cannot make any debt that is not authorized by law, just like it says here, authorized by law. So what is that? What does that mean? Well, I'm gonna actually read to you what George Nicholas said regarding debt and or regarding treaties and contracts that the federal government can enter. And he says, the worthy member says that they can make a treaty relinquishing our rights and inflicting punishments. In other words, they can actually take on debt because debt is a treaty. They can go to other nations and get other nations to fund things for us and then hold us accountable. Because all treaties are declared paramount to the constitutions and laws of the states. An attentive consideration of this will show the committee that they can do no such thing. The provision of the sixth article is that this constitution and the laws of the United States, which shall be made in pursuance thereof, and all treaties made or which shall be made under the authority of the United States shall be the supreme law. I'm going to reread this to you. I'm actually going to highlight the parts that I read, though. An attentive consideration of this will show the committee that they can do no such thing. The provision of the sixth article is that this Constitution and the laws of the United States which shall be made in pursuance thereof. What does that mean? Laws that shall be made in accordance or based upon the authority within the United States Constitution. Nothing more, nothing less. If it is something that is not enumerated within that Constitution, that law is not a legitimate law for the United States. It may be a legitimate law for the District of Columbia. It may be a legitimate law for the territories as well at that point in time when we had territories. Now we have some territories, but they're really not territories on a path to becoming states. This is where the federal government is violating that clause of having the ability to function and control and regulate territories. Their job and purpose is to enter territories into the United States as sovereign states. And what they're doing is they're playing games, because the more they can control, the more governments that they control, territories, then they get more powerful. Folks, were being played. But more importantly, they cannot make treaties because the other part of this, and laws of the United States which shall be made in pursuance thereof, and all the treaties made or which shall be made under their authority. In other words, again, those enumerated objects under those delegated powers, those are the only things they can make treaties for. So if they are making a treaty for debt, then that treaty is illegitimate if that debt is to go and pay for things that is not constitutional. Now, Biden's been in office and has basically authorized $5 trillion of unconstitutional debt, and Congress has signed off on it, which means that that's $5 trillion of debt that we are not accountable for, that the Federal Reserve should not even be paying, that the interest is, even the interest that is being accrued. If you go back and look at how they've been playing games since Woodrow Wilson, when they created the Federal Reserve, you will find that all of the interest that we've been paying and paying to the Federal Reserve, as well as to the world in this debt, we have been robbed by all of these countries. And so the whole point is when we come back and say, hey, hold it, folks, all you countries that have been robbing us, that day is over. We don't owe you this debt, and you ought to be thankful that you're getting away with the money that you looted us for. We're done with this. We're no longer going to be allowing you to buy our debt unless it is legitimate debt based upon the Constitution. And woe unto those people who take debt on fraudulent terms or fraudulent terms, because those fraudulent terms will not withstand the legitimacy in court, the legitimacy test in court. So anyway, this is what Nicholas says, though, to basically lay this out. This is the final conclusion to this little snippet, this little citation during the Virginia ratification debates. And this was said on June 19th, 1787, or 1788, my bad. They can by this make no treaty which shall be repugnant to the spirit of the Constitution or inconsistent with the delegated powers. In other words, he just basically said what I told you. He basically said that they cannot make any treaty that is inconsistent with the delegated powers. Folks, what the heck happened? Why are we in this situation? Why are we in this position, right? Okay, so when we start looking at, you know, all of the debt, and when we have people telling us, oh, the world is going to end because we owe trillions of dollars, and if we can't service that debt, then they're going to foreclose on us. If you buy into that, if America buys into the fraud, and we surrender our sovereignty and our liberty and our Constitution, that is, the blood is on the illiteracy and the stupidity of Americans. Because bottom line, folks, all you have to do is recognize that this is fraud, that nobody can be defrauded of their birthright. And if you don't realize this before that day comes, getting that birthright back will require the spilling of significant blood. And I'm just here to tell you that it will require Christ to intervene. And there's going to be many people that are going to be basically having to bear the shame with their family and their friends because they knew and they did nothing. I mean, remember that old saying that Edmund Burke said, right? All the evil needs to succeed is for good men to do nothing. I'm paraphrasing, but you know what I'm saying. So back to this line, the validity of the public debt of the United States authorized by law, including debts incurred for payment of pensions and bounties for services in suppressing insurrection or rebellion, shall not be questioned. But neither the United States nor any state shall assume or pay any debt or obligation incurred in aid of insurrection or rebellion against the United States, or any claim for the loss of emancipation of any slave, but all such debts, obligations, and claims shall be held illegal and void. So, folks, when you really look at all of the debt that we've incurred and this payments that we've been making to the Vatican because supposedly, you know, they legitimately owe us, no, sorry. They took their chances, and we're now at a state where, you know, if Britain feels like they own us and they owe us because of these unconstitutional agreements and treaties, they've got another thing coming. And as a matter of fact, it's time to wake up the Commonwealth. It is time to let the Commonwealth realize that, you know, what they're subjugated to is not the righteous, holy, you know. We'll be right back after this.
The reason progressives are effective in instituting their policies is because they are united ideologically, financially, and socially. In addition, almost every billionaire in the world is funding a vast array of different groups, and these groups' efforts are to undermine our republic and our constitution. If you don't believe me, just Google donors to the Open Society Foundations. The only way we're going to successfully combat these efforts and take back our liberties, like our education system, healthcare, state lands, housing, labor, and many other roles, responsibilities and powers that belong to the states, is by you and I and local businesses getting involved in supporting political programs and efforts based on constitutional principles. The best way to do this is supporting result-oriented organizations designed to take back our lost liberties. The ultimate result-oriented effort is Republic Review. So please consider contributing to the show and the organizations and activities that we are supporting by going to reclaimingtherepublic.org and go to the contribution page, and you can become a listed supporter of liberty. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station. Don't forget, you can call our 24-hour comment line to ask a question or to speak on any topic. Dial 425-270-5416.
Okay, so before I was interrupted because the promo just had to come, forgive me. So anyway, this is what I was trying to say. Britain is not the righteous and holy body of government that the Commonwealth has been duped into believing Britain claims to be. As a matter of fact, I think when you start looking at the Bible, it talks about crowns and heads and so forth. And if you haven't noticed, there is a realignment in the monarchies of Europe. And so could this be a part of the signs? I believe it is. And so one of the ways we've talked about this as far as strategies, one of the ways of keeping evil from being able to be effective is by pulling up things that they don't expect. And so Britain can actually find that, I mean, even though their house, they may be, you know, consolidating their power and authority, but they can't consolidate Canada if Canada goes into upheaval. if the states of Canada start, you know, demanding independence and demanding full separation from Britain and no longer taxation, and they demand a constitutional convention to rewrite their fundamental government's documents, because they're already losing their liberties and they're already being sold downriver at the expense of the world. Just like all of it, all nations, all Western societies are being folded into and being crushed for the benefit of the few, the elitists and the globalists, who really want to take our power away from us and wield it for themselves. So the last part, the very last part of the 14th Amendment is that new little clause, that Congress shall have the power to enforce by appropriate legislation the provisions of this article. Now, in other words, they can't go out, they can't create an enforcement entity, because the Constitution possesses the enforcement entity in Article 1, Section 8. The only way they can get away with creating their own of enforcement agencies is to remove the requirement of the militia to execute the laws of the Union. Because right now, based on the Constitution, any and all constitutional laws must be enforced, which is why every enforcement agency in the federal government is enforcing unconstitutional laws, because these are laws that they had no power to enforce. Now, they have power to enforce these, to be clear. They have power for the FBI to operate and enforce laws in the territories and in the District of Columbia. But the laws that they are enforcing are not applicable to the states. It's the same thing with the Department of Labor. It's the same thing with the Department of Commerce. It's the same thing with the Department of Health and Human Services, and or so on and so on. It goes on and on. All of these things that are not enumerated powers are very, very unconstitutional. They're egregious violations. And the enforcements of these, technically, even the IRS is unconstitutional. Now, the Treasury Department can have an Internal Revenue Service office, but the enforcement, those people who would come out and audit you, must be the militia. Do you understand that? Do you understand how important it is? Now, the federal government, based on taxation, they created a... let's say they didn't have the IRS, but let's say they did instead. Had they created this Office of Internal Revenue Service that created an interface with each state, because each state was constitutionally obligated to ensure taxation was being applied and being paid. And so as the states were out there, the states would then have the responsibility to enforce these laws. Now, instead of utilizing the militia, the states basically created a sheriff with a federal marshal that would go around, or the federal marshal would basically connect with all the different sheriffs to ensure that the law was being enforced. So, in other words, in those days, tax collection was being done by the sheriffs, because people weren't. You know, people were law-abiding. They didn't have moral turpitude at that point. We hadn't become corrupt as a society. Our mores didn't go down the toilet. We actually believed in respect and a civil society and so forth. So the sheriff, not having much to do, you know, did and went around and made sure that the enforcement made sure that companies were paying the liquor taxes or whatever that was legitimate taxes. This is a part of the beauty of our immune system. The enforcement within the body of our government. Well, let me get into this on Friday. So what we want to do is we just kind of want to leave this here just to prove to you that the enforcement of any and all laws must be done by the militia. Now, if one state failed, let's say Alabama and Mississippi and Louisiana, you know, let's say all the southern states decided that they weren't going to abide by the 14th Amendment. or they were, better yet, they were going to start creating laws that kind of skirted this. And the Supreme Court actually, you know, said, hey, in Plessy v. Ferguson, separate but equal. Hold on here. The Constitution doesn't require separate but equal. It requires that no laws exist. And if you have a law that divides people, if you have a law that separates people, whether that be on a train, whether that be on, you know, in a public building, or whether that be in a public business, folks, a public business is a state business. Don't think it is a private business. Even public clubs and so forth, but bottom line, clubs are private. You can create a club that, you know, only allows certain people, like the Boy Scouts of America. They have been attacked and attacked and attacked by the homosexual movement to allow homosexuals, and look at what's happened to them. They have decimated that institution. They don't care. They only care about their agenda. And I'm telling you, when it comes to evil, when evil gets its way, you will see it rear its intolerable head. That is Satan. So as we kind of lay this out and we, you know, kind of prove to you that, you know, even businesses cannot create laws. They can't create a rule that says a black person can only sit over in these corners if they're going to come and eat, or a riding the city bus, a black person, because no state can make or enforce any law that abridges the citizens. Abridges. In other words, yeah, you can come here, but you can only come here if you sit there. That's an abridgment, my friends. That is an abridgment. Jim Crow laws were abridgments to the rights of blacks in America. And so as we look at how it all unraveled, constitutional illiteracy created this mess. You want to continue contributing to the mess, or do you want to clean it up? Because you have to understand the Constitution is not racist. You have to understand that the Constitution gives everybody equal footing and equal opportunity. Everybody. There's no preference, no preference for race, no preference for gender, no preference for anybody. All of these titles, all of these laws that they've come out with, remember, the Civil Rights Act is unconstitutional. Well, it's constitutional in the District of Columbia because they had no authority. Those laws are not within the enumerated powers. It's the same thing with laws coming from the Supreme Court and so forth. If you're starting to get this, then you're starting to get your arms wrapped around the need and understanding for the bill that requires federal review at every state. This bill for federal review will help bring in and initiate republic review. And I'm telling you, here's the beautiful thing. I'm just going to share this with you. When I created this concept of republic review, it really wasn't my creation. It was really based on the research and working with others and people saying, hey, this is wrong. You know, what about this? And as I started exposing in my own eyes and mind exactly what Jefferson, Madison, and many others were doing in interposition and moving forward, Jackson being the guy that wrote the letter to Madison. But anyway, I digress. The whole point is that all I did was I exposed the insights that the Lord, the divine hand of providence, inspired Jefferson and Madison to do. So he didn't have to inspire me to do the exact same thing. He inspired me in the things that I saw and was able to make sense and highlight those things that are irrefutable. Irrefutable that the way we have everything we need to get our government completely cleaned and free of corruption. That nobody that decides to do any scintilla of corruption operates on anything other than compliance of the Constitution can be a public servant. We have everything we need, folks. We have the immune system was complete, but there were enough nefarious men and there was enough nefarious control by nefarious people over the media and over so many different things that over the course of years, we were indoctrinated to believe that the original 13th Amendment wasn't ratified. We were indoctrinated to believe all this crap. And it's all a facade. All of this, everything they're doing is a facade. Why would you fight something that's illegitimate? It's like fighting a mirage. We have to strike at the root. And the root is these things, all things that are violating the Constitution, not just one little thing. Anyway, we'll be right back after these two promos with the 15th Amendment.
If you run a business or an organization, you already know email is an essential tool for communicating. If you're interested in reducing your overhead and increasing your productivity, I personally recommend you look into AdLocal email marketing services. AdLocal has a special offer for my listeners with email services that start at $10 a month for your first 1,000 addresses. If you want to increase customer retention, grow your market presence, track your statistics, and improve your engagement with your customers with modern, elegant emails that express the personality of your business with emails that integrate with your website, you need to contact AdLocal, and they handle the rest. Take it from me. AdLocal offers the best solutions for all organization sizes, and they lead with their pricing and the 24-hour customer service. Folks, it's time to call AdLocal at 866-88-ADLOCAL or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires two-thirds of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process. As a reminder, if you have any questions or comments, we have a 24-hour comment line, 425-270-5416.
Okay, so we're moving into the last segment, and the 15th Amendment. So this is kind of important because most people wouldn't even think that the 15th Amendment is being violated, right? I mean, come on. How's that being violated? Oh, you must be a progressive. Well, let me read the amendment, and then I'll let you think about how it might be violated, and then we'll get into actually how it is being violated. The right of citizens of the United States to vote shall not be denied or abridged by the United States or by any state on account of race, color, or previous condition of servitude. In other words, this is very specific regarding one's person's ability to participate in an election, that they have to be a U.S. citizen. So how is this being, you know, violated? Is the federal government violating this? Are states violating this? Absolutely. But how? The key thing here, folks, is that this extends the right to vote upon all U.S. citizens. And as a matter of fact, and to making sure that they cannot abridge the rights because of race, color, or condition of servitude. So why did they have to pass this amendment when the second section of the 14th Amendment kind of covered this? Oh, well, because the South actually did deny Southerners, I should say freedmen, the right to vote. So in 1870, come on, friends, the South was being so good, they were behaving so well, that after the 14th Amendment that they didn't need because they were already loving the freedmen and helping them, you know, become assimilated into society. That by 1870, 4 years later, they had to pass another amendment and have it ratified. Now, just be clear, the 14th Amendment was ratified in 1868 was when it was ratified. So this amendment had to have been put out to be ratified, and it passed in 1870. So the blacks now could not be denied their right to vote, because the southern states were willing to take a loss in apportionment because it didn't mean that much to them. You know, if it was 30,000 men that they didn't allow to vote, because remember, there were only so many people, because the states already had laws that said you had to pay a poll tax, right? That was how everybody voted. And so they made the poll tax enough or high enough to make it hard for the lower income folks, property owners, what have you, to be able to pay to be able to vote. Ah, so they created a new game. So guess what, folks? Down the road, we're going to find another amendment that will take that away. Oh, but it's not because the South wasn't behaving well. You know, folks, it took a long time for people of the South, I should say not people, the political leaders of the South to swallow their pride, the businessmen and the affluent people who were leading the trends of each of these states. It took a long time, and I'm saying not even a generation, it took generations. And the problem was that we didn't, you know, when they created these laws, they should have been able to go in and actually pull these people out by violating the Constitution, because I'm pointing out how the Constitution was being violated. But nobody wanted to hold anybody to that Section 3 standard, because they all knew that there were some compromises, that they all had blood on their hands. So it was loyalty or honor among thieves type of thing that became prevalent in our society. This is how we got down this road so far. You know, there were a lot of people that, you know, just, they were, some people, every once in a while, you'd find somebody with scruples to actually stand up and say, look, I may have blood on my hands, but this is absolutely wrong, and I'm not going to allow it to happen. And so I'm going to step in, which is great. Unfortunately, it didn't happen enough. The immune system we'll be talking about on Friday will cover this. So as we kind of look at the 15th Amendment, I can tell you that it's being violated by every state that has motor voter laws that allow illegal aliens to vote. In other words, it says the right of citizens of the United States to vote shall not be denied or abridged. Nowhere in the Constitution did the federal government ever allow non-citizens to vote. And we'll get into that. But this is how the states are violating this, because they are allowing non-citizens. Every amendment that changes the right to vote for women to the age of 18 and so forth, every amendment still stipulates that the requirement to vote can only be granted to a U.S. citizen, period. Especially in federal elections. If you're a citizen of the state, which is, you can't be a citizen of the state if you're an immigrant. In other words, if you're naturalized or you're an invader, you're an immigrant and haven't been naturalized by the federal government, you can't even become a citizen of the state. Does that make sense? Because you actually have to be either born of U.S. citizens in that state to become a citizen, and you're automatically granted the privileges and also automatically held accountable to the requirements of citizenship. But anyway, so the 15th Amendment kind of shows just how bad it was for the freedmen. It wasn't good. And it wasn't good because the North was bad and equally, you know, terrible. No. It was good because the nation saw and did everything they possibly could using the Constitution to fix these things. But it was always with political compromise. And folks, this is where your Democratic Party and your Republican Party has always played games in playing divisive regarding your liberties. Why is it that anybody wants to do business with these? I mean, not everybody can live in Wyoming and have a really a good constitutional Republican Party. There's no other state that's there yet. None. And as a matter of fact, the day Frank Ethorn steps down from the chair of the Wyoming Republican Party, I'm kind of concerned whether they're going to maintain that, because I know his leadership brought a lot to how Wyoming has basically been able to become a bastion for Constitution and supporting the Constitution. I mean, they're far more along, and they actually have a committee for Republic Review. And they actually supported the bill. It was their priority for this bill for the federal review for the legislature. So you can't tell me that the Republican Party has blood on their hands. There may be these little personal things and what have you, and nobody's perfect. But they actually are setting the bar pretty high. The only problem is they still have some bylaws and their platforms and so forth. But I'd love to see Paul Venable and other states actually stepping up and taking that flag to the top of that mountain and making their party fully focused on the Constitution and only the Constitution. That's it. Thus getting rid of all of the moral agendas and the conservative controls and those paradigms that exist in the dual party or the uniparty system. Anyway, let's get into the 16th Amendment, because, you know, this too is being violated. Did I forget? The Congress shall have the power to enforce this law by appropriate legislation. To be honest with you, they actually started violating this, just to be clear. Some of the laws that they allowed, like the changes in the statutes for the Electoral College and those types of things, all happened after this. And so they actually started assuming powers they did not have after these Republicans, these radical Republicans, were finally removed surgically, because it took a few sessions of elections to finally get rid of these people who were really constitutionalists, to help put America and Congress and the federal government on the path of tyranny, which is, you know, shortly after this, we had the Organic Act and so forth. So anyway, the 16th Amendment, the Congress shall have the power to lay taxes on incomes from whatever source derived without apportionment among the several states and without regard to any census or enumeration. So in other words, they can come along and tax you, but this does not address the uniformity clause that requires the taxation be, or the burdens that the federal government places, to be non-uniform. In other words, they can't start cherry picking and going after creating burdens. And this is exactly what they're doing. Over the Western states, they are violating the uniformity clause because they've got extra burdens placed upon the Western states. You can't tell me that taking away the land of the states and taking away the resources and taking away the economic abilities of harvesting lumber, harvesting minerals, and harvesting these things that the federal government has no enumerated power to control, and they're literally doing this, that is economic warfare that they're waging against the Western states. Folks, I'm here to tell you that what we need to get into, we need to get into the 16th Amendment. I just read it. We're going to get into how this is being violated and how this really is a benign amendment. It's not as bad as most people think, and we can get away with it or get rid of this very easily, but we'll get into that in the next episode. I'm Jerem Obi. We're Reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. God bless.
Reclaiming the Republic is more than an educational radio show. My intent is to also work with you and local leadership to promote matters of the Constitution and self-governance. This way we can all promote constitutional awareness within our communities and with our elected officials and public leaders. If you love liberty and sovereignty and recognize the federal tyranny that is threatening our lives, then we are asking for your help. And here are a few ways you can help. Spread the word about this radio show, Reclaiming the Republic. It is the only radio show in the world asserting a constitutional solution to federal overreach. Download and share our podcast and content. Read, like, follow, and share our Mobius Strip Press and Reclaiming the Republic pages on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Mobius Strip News. Get informed about local groups in the area and get involved. Most importantly, become a constitutional warrior with your local leaders and demand that they begin applying constitutional tests to what they are doing and who they are supporting. Thank you.